This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday continues here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. I'm Joshua Briscoe in with you this morning, and we should be... Oh, here we go. Never mind. Blake, false alarm. All of those noises are me trying to figure out when we are going to hear from members of the Kansas City Chiefs coming to us live from St. Joe. I got by a different video that was already there, but before too long... We're going to try to bring it to you live. Some hoops to jump through, per usual, to bring you all the coverage we love to bring you here on Sports Radio 810. I don't even know who's speaking to the media today. So that'll be worth noting. That'll be kind of interesting. But one way or another, we're going to bring you Chiefs audio from today. I thought there were some interesting things yesterday as well. Again, for me right now, the biggest piece of Chiefs news for your morning is that Justin Houston has signed with the Baltimore Ravens on a deal that can be worth up to $4 million per reports. That is incredibly interesting to me, partially because I don't know if he actually was interested in coming back to Kansas City or not. I don't know if the Chiefs were interested in him. That is one of those questions that I would love to ask Brett Veach or Andy Reid, away from a microphone, just to get an honest sort of no reason to lie kind of answer. Because, as I've mentioned earlier in the show, there's been a lot of smoke around the idea that the divorce between Justin Houston and the Chiefs was a messy one. I am inclined to believe, with the number of people that I have heard to sort of go like, that there was something there. Don't know what specifically. Don't know if it was Andy Reid or Bob Sutton, or could it have been something in the front office? Was it something that could have been smoothed over? Was it beyond that? He was practicing in a Chiefs helmet, working out in a Chiefs helmet yesterday. He was the team he was with the longest, so I think it makes sense to think that he would have a couple extra Chiefs helmets. But if he never wanted to be associated with the organization again, it would be a weird thing to put on social media. So I really don't know what that whole relationship was like, and we also still don't know what the Chiefs are going to be paying Alex Okafor. So a cheap deal, really, for Houston worth up to $4 million reportedly took significantly less money than he would have gotten if he would have gone to a non-contending team. I think he still got some gas in the tank as well.
My question is when you have a guy out there like Melvin Ingram, who is in the building – not once, but I believe twice.
Definitely once.
Definitely once.
Yeah.
And you know you have. I mean,
one actual in the building, and then
one phone call.
Communication continuing, I believe.
So when you have him in the building, and then you're like, oh yeah, well, if anything, we still have Alex Okafor. Oh, by the way, Alex Okafor is notoriously injured.
So is Melvin Ingram, in fairness.
I don't like that narrative, though, of the Melvin Ingram one, because he was only injured for, like, a two-year stint, like, pretty heavily. But other than that, he was quality.
That's true. But over the last 2 years, Alex Okafor played one more regular season game and, I think, three more postseason games than Melvin Ingram did.
But he's younger.
And his ceiling is not as high. I said earlier, if you would have given me a choice in a vacuum, I would have gone, especially knowing that Justin Houston signed for $4 million, I would have gone, Justin Houston is my first choice, Melvin Ingram is my second, Alex Okafor is my third. The thing that I don't know still is what they ended up paying Alex Okafor, because if they're able to do that and then maybe it provides them some continued flexibility for once training camp cutdowns start happening, then maybe I could be convinced a little bit. But with the price tags, definitely for Houston, and to some extent for Ingram, I wouldn't have batted an eye at either of those contracts. I would have felt about right for Ingram. It would have felt, I think, like a steal for Justin Houston. But again, he ended up perhaps taking a lesser deal to play for the Ravens, and I don't know if that was on the table with the Chiefs. Maybe he was willing to come back, but he wasn't willing to give them the discount that he gave to Baltimore. I really have no idea. But it is incredibly interesting, and will it continue to form that narrative for a while? And the Chiefs will see Justin Houston this year. In what week? It's not week two again for the Ravens this year, I don't think, but it's very early on. It is week two. Didn't they play them week two last year also?
I believe it was week three last year.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. I knew it was very early again this year, though. Really? Wow. You're going to go back in, try to double or nothing week two this year?
You know it. Patrick Mahomes is Lamar Jackson's daddy. Crickets.
You weren't going to make me try to follow that up, were you? So that is very interesting. And the other thing from training camp, and also I'll say this, we'll know that the presser is starting whenever people start tweeting out updates on the injury front, because Ben Neiman left with an apparent injury, walked back up the hill by himself, though, which is like, on his own, which is obviously a positive. I know that a lot of people are really sick of Ben Neiman. I get it. The reason you're sick of Ben Neiman, though, is not because he stinks. It's because he's often put in a role that I don't think he should be put in. If he's your fourth linebacker, he has real value. The same goes for Dan Sorensen as your third safety. But whenever Dan Sorensen's getting work over Juan Thornhill, my head explodes off my shoulders. Whenever Ben Neiman plays over Willie Gay Jr., I'm not as happy. So anyway, with that being said, Neiman left the field today, and apparently Mike Rimmers was just not out there. So really interested to see what the injury report is on those guys. We should see that relatively soon. And then shortly thereafter, we should hear from a couple other members of the Chiefs. Maybe we hear from Lucas Niang. Not sure yet, but currently seeing tweets about Tommy Townsend kicking bombs. Should probably be kicking footballs.
Yeah, I don't know if kicking bombs is good for your toes.
Got to be bad for your foot. And there's a lot of fans out there and everything. You know, even if it's just like a fake one or something.
Yeah, I mean,
kicking footballs.
If it's real, I mean, the shrapnel is just. I mean, I feel like that's just a safety hazard for sure.
Lots for literally everyone involved. So,
this isn't Mario.
That's such a good point. People, we don't mention often enough that this isn't Mario, you know?
People need to know, this is not Mario
and
World.
People, I think frequently people walk around, they look around, they go, is this, oh, you know what? I'm having such a fun time here, out here in Mario World. We have to go, listen,
I mean,
man, that's
granted,
not.
The last time I walked by a giant pipe, I did hop in it.
Of course, and then you popped out in a little secret world somewhere else, you got the coins and you left again.
No, I got stuck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was not Mario World.
Oh, that's such a great point. So that even you, the proponent of reminding people that it's not Mario World, even you're not perfect. Nobody's nerfect. I ate a mushroom, and I actually got a little sick and did not get extra health. I got a little less health. It was covered in dirt.
I've heard about those mushrooms.
Yeah.
I read about them on the internet.
I tried to eat that flower, and I did not shoot fireballs out of my hands. I also just got kind of sick.
That's when you went to the hospital for?
Yeah, it was because I lit a fire. I lit a flower on fire and then tried to eat it, and I burned the inside of my mouth real bad. Not Mario World.
Not Mario World.
You know what? It makes sense why you came to work in that Tanuki suit that one time now. I just thought that was a weird sort of personal thing.
Well, I rode my dinosaur and parked it in the parking lot. So
I wondered why there was an adorable green dinosaur in the parking lot tied to a post like a horse at a saloon. Boy, I hope the Chiefs press conferences start soon.
This is all we're waiting on. If you guys are wondering why we're talking about Mario, it's because the Chiefs are just dangling a string.
Excuse you. Well, we're talking about not Mario.
Well, I mean, this is not Mario.
And I feel like people forget that. You know what it is almost? It's almost Marco, who is just over there.
I was about to say, Marco, this is not Mario World.
Yeah, and don't curse, because Blake's microphone is on.
My mic's on, don't curse.
Yeah, just to be clear.
So this weather, right?
Let me tell you the other thing that don't worry about it, Marco. We're just talking about how it's not Mario, and also you're not Mario. That is also not your name. Hey, I think practice is over in St. Joe. I still at this point do not know who is going to be up. Depending on how all this comes together, we may not know who it is at all out of the gate. But we are very close, I tend to believe. So you'll hear from some folks in St. Joe. Injury updates should be on the way first. As soon as we see injury update tweets, Blake, it is all hands on deck.
So I don't know if they ever officially listed, Travis's why he walked off the field.
It was a tight back and hip.
And now we have Neiman. I'm wondering how much of this is also due to the scorching heat we've been witnessing recently. I mean, like, you can't walk outside and not be uncomfortable.
And also, oh, no, it's impossible. Like, this morning was okay. But it, once the sun is in the air.
Yeah, at 5 a.m., it was great.
Yes. Also worth noting, the injured guys, the guys who have missed a little bit of time at some point, Hitchens had a hammy. Kelsey had the back and hip tightness. Rimmers wasn't out there today. Neiman, none of those guys are your rookies or your second-year players. Tyreek Hill mentioned that he was cramping during his presser yesterday. At one point, he was like, hey, I'm sorry, can you repeat that again? I'm cramping. All right, so I think he knocked a recorder off of the podium. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't get that. I'm cramping. So between all of those things going on, between it being hot as anything, humid as anything, first few days of camp, I treat all of these injuries as being minor until otherwise noted, is what I would say. Not a surefire foolproof stance, but probably the safer thing to assume. Not seeing Rimmers at all today is a little weird, but he also didn't get hurt during practice, so my guess, because so Neiman, according to Twitter, left practice, went into the medical tent, and then walked up the hill on his own, which makes me think that it is not serious at all. Even if it was a serious, you know, elbow injury, they're gonna cart him up, you know. So my thought is that was probably some sort of tightness, and that all the veterans know, like, hey, this is not the time for you to get injured and then aggravate it over and over again. Like, if you have a weird tweak of some sort, do not fight through it in July, because we need you to be able to fight through it in November. Or we need you to be healthy in September. Don't give yourself trouble in July and August. And I think we don't hear as much from Rick Burkholder at this point as we heard from him quite a bit last offseason, because he was the Chiefs COVID officer, and so he was kind of setting up all that. But he's the VP of sports medicine, head trainer, and everything. I don't know him, like, personally, so I guess I should be somewhat careful to say this, but, like, it seems like that dude is really good at his job. And I have to think that, and the number of times that players mention Burkholder and the rest of the training staff and everything, I hope this is true across the NFL, but it certainly seems true in Kansas City. You got to have a good communication there, where, again, you are understanding the difference between being, you know, nicked up a little bit and being really hurt. But on July 30th and 31st, you don't need to worry about it. Mike Rimmers has back spasms. Somebody at the podium right now here. Andy Reid of the podium, live from St. Joe.
Thompson is in COVID protocol. Armani Watts had the fractured foot. He's coming back from. Kels actually got some work in today and is getting better from the back spasms. DeAndre Baker work, and Taco had work. Neiman, he tweaked his hamstring a little bit. Other than that, we're doing good. It was great work today, as it has been for the last four. We've had a variety of elements that we've been able to work with. Today was great because we got work with a wet ball, and you got to have a little bit more focus, especially going into day four when you're a little bit tired. And the guys, I thought, did a good job with that with the rain and so on. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
Monday or
Tuesday. Yeah.
Given what you just said about these last 4 days of practice, what's your excitement level you feel from the, I almost said troops, from the players, yeah, to put the pads on Tuesday?
Yeah. So listen, I mean, they're working through this and. They're working through this and doing a nice job as they go with it. But, inevitably, they look forward to getting the pads on down the road. You don't hear much of that because they're glad to be out here and doing what they're doing. There's a bug crawling up my pants here. That's not a good thing.
Andy, with the camp always provides guys the opportunity to have a little bit more reps than maybe you anticipate. That seems to be the case for Noah Gray and Jordy Clortson.
Yep.
What are your early thoughts been on them, as well as the rookies, Trey and
Listen, the young guys have done a nice job, Nate. I mean, they've stepped up, I thought, and They've been working their tail off. It's been a good exercise with very few mistakes. And so you look at that now, that becomes important. The great part is with those young linemen, the defensive line helps them out. Those veteran D linemen help them out by talking to them on certain things. The veteran offensive linemen help them out. And then with Jody, he's in a good room right there. And so it's great to see him working like that.
Hitchens and Neiman down, obviously some of the younger guys got the reps. Was Gay making the calls, and how did you feel like Gay and Bolton did?
I thought both of them did a nice job. Both have had opportunities to call, and so they've done a good job with it, yeah.
Andy, understanding that Remmers was out today, you had three rookies with your ones on the offensive line today. How important is experience when you're going to be deciding who's starting and who's not?
Yeah, so listen, I've started a number of rookies in there, and they've done a good job. But yeah, sure, you'd like to have experience. But again, I've had success with rookies too, so it's kind of individually based and how they step up and communicate and how willing the veteran players are to share with them and experiences. And then they're fortunate to have Andy, who's been doing, played in the league for 14 years, been coaching forever, so is their coach.
We're going to go right across right here. Go ahead, Sam. Start. We're talking to Jerick McKinnon later today. What different element does he bring to the running back room?
Yeah, so he's a talented receiver. He's been doing this a long time, especially for running backs' longevity in this league. The average longevity is like 3 years, right? So for him to have been in it and doing it this long, he brings great experience. But he sure has a knack for the pass game. Yeah, he does a nice job of that.
Cool. On the same vein, we're getting Mike Hughes here. What have been your general impressions of Mike Hughes since he's joined the team?
Yeah, so Mike is a worker, extremely tough, extremely disciplined, technique-oriented, fundamentals, and you see it on his rush pat. You see how he does everything with that. So I like what I've seen there.
Aaron, I'll stick with the theme. We're getting LDT a little bit later. This is the guy that missed the year last year. On the ground that he has to gain, is it more in the physical or is it the mindset?
No, I think mentally he's doing good. I joked to him about his helmet. He's got the new latest greatest helmet on, and he's protecting that McGill medical degree, with that thing. Although it was hot yesterday, and he said the helmet's hot. So I said, you're going to fry it instead of banging it. But he's come in and done a very nice job. Stepping back in brings that good experience with him. It's just a matter of playing and timing and rhythm and all that. But he came in great shape, which helps him. Yeah.
Last story, Nate. Andy, we're seeing you guys do more running right now. Just how much of the running sets are new versus what you guys have done in the past, and how has that looked so far?
Yeah. So the first couple of days we did all pass really, and then we've worked some run in here the last couple practices, and just to kind of get into the swing. It's tough to do without pads on, so the guys have to work it a little bit where we keep bodies off the ground. It becomes important. But listen, we've got to do a better job running the ball, and I've got to give the guys an opportunity to do that, right? So, and then defending the run, you practice it. You have an opportunity to work to defend it. So, it's a positive both ways.
You mentioned about the longevity of running backs. How nice is it to have a guy like Jerick McKinnon, who's been around the block a few times, but also has that maybe different brand of speed that he has?
Yeah, so he is. He's quick. He's got that quickness and speed. And he's a good – it's a good changeup. And we've got a variety of guys. And Thompson's not out here yet. So, you add him into the mix, and now you got another variety of running backs that you can present. So, but it's great to have him. It's great to have his experience here. Yeah.
Last one,
Andy. When it comes to Lucas Niang, you said earlier that he's trying to get back in football shape. Do you feel like over to OTAs and now seeing him in training camp and getting with involved with the ones, you feel like he's getting into that shape he needs, and you think he's the guy that you feel like you drafted?
Yeah, he's in great shape right now. He worked his tail off this off season. Came back early. He and Tooney were in there every day working and so it's showing out here. He's doing a nice job so far. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
All right, guys.
There's Andy Reid live from the podium in St. Joe. We know we're going to hear at least from Jerick McKinnon and Mike Hughes. Theoretically, could get somebody else as well, so we're keeping an eye on that. Should be just a second. I'm afraid to get too deep into the takeaways because I imagine that someone else will be at the podium literally seconds from right now. But a few interesting things there. Most importantly, the bug was crawling up Andy Reid's leg.
Crawling up his shorts.
Crawling up his shorts, excuse me. Yeah, very important information there from Andy Reid at St. Joe. If you haven't been up there, you might not realize, like, it's kind of in the middle of, like, a little forest that kind of just got, like, flattened for some football fields there. But expect to hear from Mike Hughes and or Jerick McKinnon very shortly, and maybe somebody else as well. But not yet. So I guess I'll say this. Right now, again, the news of the day with no Mike Rimmers out there, back spasms. Lucas Niang also, he mentions there at the end, you know, being in coming in great shape, so that's great. As he was getting work at right tackle today with Mike Rimmers having some back spasms. So that right tackle battle, even more interesting now with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, two rookies starting in the middle of the offensive line. Can Lucas Niang make it three? Can the entire right side of the Chiefs offensive line in week one have a combined zero NFL snaps?
And has that ever happened before with a Super Bowl bound team or projected Super Bowl bound team?
Or a team that was just in the Super Bowl?
Or a team that was just in the Super Bowl, and we have LDT up at the podium.
Oh, let's hear from London Ray Tardif.
I mean, everything, to be honest. It's always a challenge. Training camp is hard physically and mentally. We've been pretty lucky that we had some pretty good weather, even though it was a little hot at the beginning. And then it's just making sure you compete every day, show up with a great attitude. We have a really competitive group this year, and I think it's my job to show that I can still play and that I want to play.
Larry, you had mentioned, I believe it was mandatory minicamp, that you were trying to get get back in football shape. Where do you think you are now? Or have you reached that, or is it still a process?
I mean, it's still a process. It's always a process, especially the fact that I haven't played for the last year, but I feel pretty good. Today was a good day, and we just keep on building. And next week, we're going to put the pads on, and I'm looking forward to that. I think it's when you really know where you're at, you know?
You did so much unique workouts, kind of forced to do that during that last year. So when you get to camp on the first day a few days ago, did you feel like, hey, what I did in the off season was productive in preparing me for this?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I did my best, but nothing can really prepare you for a training camp. You know, I squat, I lift, I clean, I ran, but I never blocked anybody for the past year. So it was just a different type of work, you know, working on the front line of a pandemic instead of working on the front line of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You mentioned during OTAs about how you've got...
Sorry, can you just speak louder?
Absolutely. You mentioned during OTAs that there's so many new teammates on the offensive line that you didn't know before.
Yeah.
You hadn't really got a chance to know them. Now that you've had almost a week now with everybody, what's your kind of impressions of the group?
I mean, that's why it's so great to spend some time here in St. Joe's, because you get to bond with everybody. Like, we have a really cool group of guys, and they welcome me in, you know, even though I've been here for the past 8 years, I wasn't here last year. So it was good to build that chemistry, and I feel like now we're pretty united.
Being a doctor and everything, we're still out here, still with COVID being a thing, you know, just kind of your overall opinions on how things are being treated out here and your doctor experience.
I mean, I feel like, yes, so far the NFL has been doing a really good job. You know, when you look at the health and safety protocol, I think it's solid. And things are going to evolve. You know, we look at the growing rates of the Delta variant everywhere, especially in Missouri. I think we got to be careful, you know. But I think here we're like in a bubble almost, and we're doing a pretty good job at, you know, either getting vaccinated or wearing the mask if you're not. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be safe.
Of Patrick Mahomes as you've been here. I know you were away for a year, but have you noticed any differences just in the time you've been here in camp?
No, he's the same guy. He's the same guy, super grounded. You know, the first day I got in, he came to me and was like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, asking a little bit about how was my year back home in Canada. So it's just show how great of a teammate he is, you know, and even though he's winning all those Madden rating and so on, like, he's still super grounded, which is cool.
Center right now, just initial impressions of Austin Blythe and maybe what he brings to the table.
He's really solid. Like, he's super cerebral. You understand what's going on, you know, and even though it's only been, what, like 5 days that we're here, I feel like he's picking up on some stuff, asking a lot of questions. The communication has been really good with him. And, you know, our defense is showing up a bunch of new blitzes, fire zone, cover zero, and making sure we understand and we all speak the same language is super important. And I feel like we're getting to this point. Like, today was a really good day.
Had a lot of running backs as teammates during your course of career here in Kansas City. Jerick McKinnon, what stands out to you as an offensive lineman about his skill set?
I mean, he's pretty quick. He's pretty quick. He's also pretty solid. I feel like he's a well-balanced guy. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, we had, like, super quick guy. We had Spencer Ware, who was really strong. Now I feel like all the running back has kind of the same skill set, the same approach to the game. And when you run, like, stretch play, they all read it kind of the same way, which is really useful for us because you're reaching a three technique. You know exactly if they're going to cut or they're going to take it outside, which is good. So it's nice so far to work with them.
Coach said that you're wearing a new helmet. Is there a reason why you made a change?
I mean, being a doctor, I try to, you know, be at the top of the health and safety measure, and this helmet is the score, the top performer. It's a Visus with a little, you know, bumper on the face mask, and so far it's been pretty good. I like it. Yeah.
Okay, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Dr. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif live from the podium in training camp in St. Joe. I'd like to see the helmet. I was hoping
I was just about to say, do you have a picture of it?
Not on me. And he didn't bring it up on the video feed. But if you Google, I know it's Visis is the brand of helmet, and that they have been doing some good work. The NFL has been saying, hey, these are the best tested helmets we've got. You end up with more of the, you know, like the cutout in the middle and all of the different vents and stuff, apparently to relieve some of the pressure whenever you get hit in the head, which happens a lot as an offensive lineman, obviously. Good to have LDT back in the mix, and kind of interesting that he's not, you know, not the incumbent right guard, but he was out last year, and Trey Smith apparently has shown the Chiefs a lot of good things, and it looks like Jerick McKinnon. Mike Hughes is at the podium.
No, Trey was gonna go down. I just didn't know where. So when I found out it was here, you know, obviously I was excited. You know, Super Bowl contending team, couldn't land at a better spot. So you know, just try to turn everything into a positive. And you know, I'm glad to be here, man. Blessed.
How would you just assess your first week out here?
You know, still trying to get used to being around new guys, getting adjusted to everybody, getting adjusted to the system. And, you know, I've just been taking it day by day. But I think it's been going pretty solid so far.
Why do you feel like it didn't work out for you with the Vikings?
You know, man, like I said, I just try to turn everything into a positive. Obviously, I've been dealing with some injuries. You know, that's probably a main thing. But, you know, just trying to move forward. Like I said, I'm blessed to be here, man, and I'm ready to take this next step forward.
What do you think the fresh start can do for you, new uniform, kind of a different environment? How can that help you in your career?
I mean, it's been great so far. You know, since I've been here, everybody's welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, any questions I have for the guys, you know, they're willing to help. So, you know, everything's been, it's been smooth so far. So I'm glad to be here, like I said, and I'm just come every day ready to work.
When you were coming through the draft process, did you talk with the Chiefs much? Did you know that they sort of identified that you had a skill set that they liked even then?
So when the trade went down, you know, a lot of the coaches were saying they wanted me out of the draft, but obviously, the draft is kind of a crazy process. I pretty much talk to every team, so you know, it's hard to go back and say specifics. But like I said, man, I'm just glad to be here. Everybody's happy I'm here, and you know, I feel the same way. So.
Bonding in the secondary that's really going to help you, you know, get as comfortable as you can before the season starts.
I mean, really, like I said, everybody, man. You know, being a new guy here. You know, you kind of worry about who's willing to help and who's not, but everybody's willing to help. And, you know, that's the big thing about our DB room. You know, everybody's, even though it's competition, everybody's sticking together, trying to help each other out, get better. So, you know, that's been pretty good for me.
Speaking of help and with your specific skill set, how do you think your skill set helps this Chiefs defense, especially against the pass?
I mean, you know, whatever the coaches want me to do, man, that's what I'm going to do. You know, whether they – I've been playing straight outside so far. You know, obviously with the Vikings, I was playing nickel and corner, but here I've just been playing outside, still trying to get adjusted to the system. But, I mean, I'm doing everything the coaches asked me to do. Obviously with my skill set, I feel like I can play anywhere, and I've just been taking one day at a time, man.
Do you consider yourself as a press man corner? Sorry, Pete.
Press man, zone, off, whatever, man. I can do whatever I feel like.
How comfortable do you feel playing multiple roles in a game if it came to that, where they were moving you inside and then moving you outside? I know you did.
Yeah, if it came to it, man, you know, the coaches wouldn't do it if they didn't trust me. So, you know, obviously I would feel comfortable doing it myself. So, you know, wherever they want me to play, I'm willing to do.
What part of Steve Spagnuolo's scheme have you enjoyed so far?
Playing press man. We do a lot of that. So, You know, I've been working on my technique every day. Kind of knocking the rust off. I was on IR most of last year, so it's been pretty good, man. Just getting out here, getting in front of guys, competing, and just having fun with it.
Mike, you did the training camp here in Kansas City. You hear about Patrick Mahomes, but then what's it like when you're facing him in the 7-on-7?
Oh man, it's special, honestly, man. Some of the throws he can make, it only gets us better. So going out there, competing. And just doing the best that we could do, and I just know he's getting us better at the end of the day, and we're making him better at the end of the day, and that's all that matters. So.
You mentioned your injuries a couple times. Are you completely 100% now?
Yes, sir. I'm completely 100%, man. I've never felt better, and like I said, I'm just taking it one day at a time, and just coming every day to work, man. So that's all that matters to me.
Specifically with Coach Spags and Coach Madison, what's it been like so far working with those guys, and then what kind of instructions have you been getting from Madison?
Being a former player, obviously he knows X's and O's, and he's been, giving me certain techniques to, add to my game, and, I've been doing that, and it's getting me better every day, man, and, we talk on a daily basis. Like I said, he's always giving me pointers, and I'm taking it from the classroom to the field, and it's just been getting me better every day, so.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
New Chiefs quarterback Mike Hughes live there from St. Joe here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A few interesting things. One, I got to mention here in an audio medium. Rocking dangling number 21 earrings. Shutdown corner move. Let's hear from New Chiefs running back Jerick McKinnon live from St. Joe.
I would just say the whole offensive scheme, just the way they use the running back and stuff like that was very intriguing. I talked to a couple teams, in free agency, maybe like, three teams. This was the team that was most intriguing to me, so I decided to come here. It's a good character locker room, and they got a lot of good athletes, so I thought, what the hell, I'll just come in and see where I fit in.
Jerick, Andy Reid was saying he really feels like you have a good feel for the passing game. Is you feel like your background as a quarterback helps you with that?
Maybe just a little bit, but when I played quarterback, that wasn't a pro style offense. When I look at the playbook, I do tend to wander off and look at, more of the concepts, and things like that to try to, get a feel for it. It's not easy coming into a new offense, learning the terminology and, the route combinations and stuff like that. But, it's been a good camp so far. And, the other running backs, they helped me come along with that, as well as G. Lou. So it's been good.
Were you a teammate with Mike at all in Minnesota?
Nah, he was there after me.
Mm-hmm. How has Eric Bieniemy interacted with you so far? How has he challenged you?
Yeah, every day is a challenge. He says chop the wood, and every day is a learning curve. Everybody's not perfect, but that's what we out here working for. Strive for the bigger goals. So it's all about coming out here working. Making plays. If you make a mistake, learn from it, and then get better the next day.
Obviously, with what you've been through injury wise, you've got to be pretty motivated and love this game. Mm-hmm. What is it that's motivated you to continue to come back?
Like you said, it's just love for the game. Two knee surgeries wasn't easy. But for the most part, going through that stuff, it was my teammates really that I leaned on the most, for help and, comfort and, things like that. So, coming in every day, I'm on crutches, looking at my teammates go hard, it just made me go that much harder. So, that's how I look at my teammates, those guys push me no matter what team I'm on.
What's it been like working with Patrick Mahomes?
Mm-hmm. It's been fun. He got a lot of arm talent. His game speaks for himself. And, it's been very exciting to see him make, all the different arm angle throws and stuff like that. It's really more impressive up close and personal when you see it every day.
A lot of players talk about no play is dead, right? You got to keep the play alive. Have y'all worked on that yet?
Not intentionally, but, Pat, if there's nothing there, he'll scramble around and make something happen. So, I think it's one of the things that, everybody's kind of just, formed into a habit.
Everybody who's come in this tent has talked about you. The quarterback, the coaches have talked about what you bring to the offense and how you've jumped out to them. Well, how's that make you feel? Because you come in and you gotta make an impression.
Yeah, it's just motivating. Like I said to him, every day is a new day, and no matter how good the last day was or mediocre the last day was, I want to find a way to be better. So that's my whole mentality. Just come into camp, wipe out the past day. Today is a fresh new start, and find a way to get better.
Back-to-back years of injury. How long did it take you to truly feel like, okay, I'm 100% myself in that?
Probably not until this offseason. Last year, my first year back, still had to get in the groove of things after missing 2 years, had to get a feel for the game again. And then, just getting that in-game experience. So, felt good last year, but, you know, still a learning curve coming back after 2 years. So, you know, this offseason I felt really, really good. And, you know, coming into the camp, OTAs, you know, my knees been feeling really good.
Jared, I don't know if this is a weird question necessarily, but given that you're new into this offense and there's so many new linemen, is that somewhat beneficial to you because you and the linemen are learning the offense together, obviously because you all have to work together on
it? Yeah, I would say so, but that's as an offense is collective. You know, there's a lot of new guys on the team. So, you know, like I said, we're all learning every day. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do. And, you know, Coach Reed and Coach EB, you know, they're so detailed into everything. So, you know, really it's the guys that's been here that we lean on, and those guys giving us help and guidance to get better and know what the coaches want and expect.
Who would you say has been the most helpful of those veteran core guys?
I'm not going to lie. For me, I play running back. So, you know, the guys who've been really helping me outside of G. Lou has been Clyde and Daryl. You know, those guys have been in the system for multiple years, and, you know, they know what the coaches expect, and they know how to do, you know, little things that the coaching tips on certain points. So, you know, those have been the guys that I've been leaning on that have been helping me.
What's been unique for you being an Andy Reid scheme versus some of the prior schemes you've been in before?
There's similarities and there's differences. You know, Shanahan has his philosophy. Coach Reid has his philosophy. So, you know, like I said, it was intriguing when and the offer stood out, and, you know, I like how they use the running back in this offense, and, you know, Coach Reed has shown that.
You mentioned just the fact that you feel as good this offseason as you have. Do you want to sort of prove that? If not even to other people, just to yourself that you can still do this at all?
I mean, every day in this league, you got to prove yourself. You know, I'm going into year eight. I still feel like I got something to prove. And, you know, that should be everybody's mindset. You know, once you lose that mindset and get complacent, you'll be out the league for sure.
Working with Clyde and Daryl, what's it been like working in the running back room with those guys, and how do you feel like you complement them on the field?
It's been really well. I think, you know, that whole running back core group is, you know, intriguing. And, you know, there's a lot of explosive guys. You know, Clyde had a jump out year last year. Daryl, I've seen him on tape. He can run the ball really well. He can catch the ball really well. Let's see, Train, not here, but, you know, he's explosive as well. DG. He can run the ball. So, you know, just being able to come into a group of guys, a group like that, with guys who can run the ball, where I feel like I can improve my game, has been definitely beneficial.
Anything else? Thanks, guys.
There's new Chiefs running back Jerick McKinnon live from St. Joe right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. I believe that will be the end of our press conferences for the day here today, but want to give it just another beat and make sure we're good on that end. The video's all cutting down. And we're good to go. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break because we got to do that here on Sports Saturday. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about a bunch of things we heard there from Andy Reid, Jerick McKinnon, Mike Hughes, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Breaking that down next here on Sports Radio 810.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's a quick report from St. Joe, a source I'll tell you in a minute here, but I mentioned earlier on the show, no Mike Rimmers and now no Ben Neiman means the Chiefs are probably rolling out four rookies with the ones. And the report here I got in return was them rooks can run and gun, which was tweeted back from Tyrann Mathieu. So I don't think I need another source on that. I think one source is good enough to just run with that as being the true legitimate information. I was scrolling through my tweet deck during the commercial break, and I was sort of surprised to see that there was another reply from Tyrann Mathieu in there. So good reports from Mathieu on the rookies, because the Willie Gay, Gay is a second year guy, obviously, but sort of the Willie Gay, Nick Bolton crew on the defensive side, and then the rookies, the true rookies who are out there today, being Trey Smith, Lucas Niang, and then Creed Humphrey in the middle. Really important to keep all of that in mind, that you're talking about a very young offensive line that right now seems to be playing well, according to the one and only Tyrann Mathieu. And I tend to take that report at face value. So good to hear that from Tyrann. I also said this is a much more mean-spirited tweet, but I tweeted that the dangling jersey number earrings is an absolute shutdown corner move from Mike Hughes, and then Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus said his first, but yeah. Very rude. And I'm hoping that Mike Hughes works out. Blake, I know you are intrigued by some of the stuff that Hughes mentioned there. I'll tell you the few things that caught my ear. One is that the Chiefs really still have a hole in terms of what their other outside corner is going to be. It seems right now, we talked to Adam Teicher about this a little bit yesterday in the program, but it seems like right now the most likely outcome, I think, still very early, Tre'Davious Ward starting on the outside on one side. Legarius Sneed starts outside and then kicks into the slot in sub packages, which the Chiefs are going to be in 70-80% of the time. And then whenever that happens, right now it appears to be Mike Hughes being the guy that's getting the other outside corner work. Now, again, that would be 30% of the Chiefs snaps, maybe. That's not true. 70% of the Chiefs snaps. But, 30% of the time it would be Sneed out there and then in the slot for 70-ish. All, just sort of some numbers based off the rest of the league. And Hughes said he's played straight outside so far. He has an interesting skill set for the slot, but I really like Sneed there, so that doesn't hurt my feelings any. And he mentioned he's still getting adjusted to the defense, so maybe he kicks in if he does, eventually get comfortable enough in the defense that he becomes more flexible that way.
What I thought was interesting was that he said that he was trying to work both inside and outside, and as if they were going to use him like that. Now, yeah. If they're also going to be using Sneed like that, and with the versatility of Tyrann Mathieu and even Juan Thornhill to an extent.
Also, Rashad Fenton's been pretty good in the slot.
Yeah, like, offenses, if this is going to be working the way I think it is, with a very revolving door of you don't know who's going to be where, this is almost going to be like an offensive mismatch on the other side. It's a defensive mismatch now because you don't really know who you're going up against at any time, because at any moment they could bump Sneed in. At any moment they might be able to bump Mike Hughes in. At any moment Tyrann Mathieu can come down. This is going to be a defensive mind game that I think Spagnuolo could be playing here, yeah. And maybe that's why they targeted some of these guys that can be as versatile as kind of flipping it over to the other side, like we've seen with the Royals being able to use certain guys on the infield and, playing all positions. Now when you've got guys on the defense that can really roll coverages left and right and in and out, that's just going to be even more mind games for opposing offenses.
And I think that that's something that the Chiefs have mentioned, that I think this must have come up in Thornhill's presser, but one of the DBs, it might have even been DeAndre Baker, speaking in his first time as a Chief, mentioned that it is a defensive back room more than anything else. They're Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill and Dan Sorensen are safeties, but also shout out to an interesting piece that our friend Craig Stout wrote up on the KC Sports Network a few weeks ago. We talked about it on the show on Almost Entirely Sports, which would all be relevant if you went back and listened to wherever you get your podcasts, by the way. And he was talking about, he dug in really specifically to one of Spags' kind of especially unique, obvious passing down sort of secondary rotations. And just sort of seeing it broken down that specifically and broken down that way made me have an even greater appreciation for how much Spags is doing that. And so I do think that there's probably some advantage to an offense having to guess, who's going to be lined up where. But then once the actual play starts, there's even more of an advantage to be had defensively whenever you have guys moving or the quarterback is not expecting. That right there is a huge part of at least pass defense, is giving the quarterback something to think about and hopefully a mistake to make against you. But beyond that, even, I think the most important thing from this group of guys is that whenever you have, let's say it's four dudes that are basically kind of contending for that one spot. And really at this point, it's probably less than that. But it seems to be Mike Hughes, DeAndre Baker, and Rashad Fenton, I would say, are your three guys, with Ward and Sneed definitely starting. Now, Sneed could end up spending more time outside. He could end up spending more time in the slot, TBD. But with those three guys, if you have three guys who are all relatively versatile, could play inside, could play outside, what you're left with is an ability to actually, as Andy Reid says about the offensive line as well, pick your best five, or in this case, your best three. I wouldn't put Ward in the slot. I think he's going to be an outside guy purely. But everybody else, including Sneed, if you want to make it four guys for two spots, and we know Sneed is going to be on the field at least 70% of the time, even if he's exclusively the slot corner, that would probably be his cutoff, more or less. The Chiefs will have options there. Now, look, again, you would not put Bashaud Breeland in the slot. He's purely an outside guy. I still wish this team had Bashaud Breeland on it. I really do. I think, because then you are only really asking questions about your first guy off the bench, or once you're in dime packages, if you want to try to run four pure corners out there. Or, again, note that Mike Hughes could play a Kendall Fuller type role, right? Legarius Sneed certainly could, and kind of did last year to some extent, at least in the second half. I am never worried about having too many competent cornerbacks, and there is a world in which Hughes and Fenton and Baker, none of them fully rise to the level the Chiefs need them to be at. I think the odds are probably in favor that one of those guys is at least a, you know, competent starter, which is pretty much what Ward is. And Snead has a chance to be more of a playmaker. I would like to have Breland there and know that he can be there. And if he doesn't win that job, if DeAndre Baker or Mike Hughes takes that job from him, cool. That's fine. That's how it goes everywhere else. If Breland was here, I think he would be the LDT or the Mike Rimmers of the cornerback group, where you have a chance for him to lose that job, but it's worth it to have him there anyway. But the Chiefs didn't agree, and so Bashaud Breland is in Minnesota, which is where Mike Hughes just came from. So I think that's kind of interesting. Does that cover most of it, Blake, in terms of what you were thinking in the cornerback group?
Yeah, I just thought the way that Mike talked about his position in his usage was, I'm picturing right now how this defense is going to look and the movement that they're going to, you know, we talk about movement on the offensive side, but just how much they might be able to play some mind games with some of these guys, especially because a lot of those guys in that backfield on the defensive side, they're just so talented they can play anywhere.
Yeah.
And they can do so many different things that I think this is, you know, for a long time, Chiefs fans have complained about the lack of premier cornership playability. And now I think that this room looks a lot more comfortable than I think Chiefs fans have been in the past.
Yeah, last year was a pretty good indicator that was a legitimate thing. As someone who, for as long as I could tell you, since the moment Marcus Peters was traded away, I have been hoping that the Chiefs would add a playmaker corner. And I think they did it at a great value with Snead, by the way. Like, I do think that he qualifies as a playmaker. Is he the pure corner that Marcus Peters is? Probably not. Could he eventually get to that point? Maybe. But also, again, you're talking about having different things that you prioritize if you're Spags. Spags prioritizes versatility and length, I think, probably more than anything else. Speed to some extent, because you just simply have to be a certain speed to keep up with NFL wide receivers. But versatility and length, I think, are probably the things that he looks most at. And again, two things that Breland wasn't necessarily, you know, outpacing some of these other guys on. He just also happened to have consistency, which I am a big fan of. But again, older, all that. I get it, man. I really do. But as someone who loves elite cornerback play and would be happy to see the Chiefs draft a corner in the first round next year, or use some cap space next year to invest in that position with probably a replacement for Tre'Varius Ward in the last year currently of his rookie deal. He's a restricted free agent this year. They're going to have even more turnover at that position next season. And also, to be fair, DeAndre Baker was one of those guys, and then he had all the like weird robbery, maybe extortion stuff in New York, then got cut, and then unfortunately got here and then broke his leg in another terrible stroke of luck. He could be that guy. Snead kind of looks like that guy. So a lot of things to be optimistic about in that Chiefs defense and across the team altogether. Thanks for listening to Sports Saturday. Thanks to Blake Schneiders. I'm Joshua Briscoe. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye, Mom.